Hi, my name is Greg Reitman. I work for LSI Logic in the Storage Systems Division, and my paper today is called Satellite Broadcast and Broadband Networks Powered with Storage Area Networks. For those that don't know LSI Logic, we do chips, semiconductors, and fiber channel storage. We're going to start out just giving you guys an agenda of what this paper is going to cover, and then we'll go into some specifics about our company and the paper. One of the first topical items that I'm going to go over is the LSI Logic overview, who we are as a communications company, some of the entertainment and media market business challenges that are affecting the broadcast and network operations. We're going to look at an open storage management strategy. We're going to sort of, in my opinion, see the net effect of this whole digital media chain reaction and how this media is going to be sort of embraced inside the broadcast and network services architecture. Next, we're going to define what is a storage area network, what is the enterprise storage architecture that needs to be deployed, and from there, some of the infrastructures, specifically the platforms, the switches, the HBAs, some new optical media characteristics technologies such as dense wave division multiplexing, some proprietary technology that LSI Logic has, such as hot scale technology. From there, once we sort of lay the foundation piece, I'm sort of going to give a topical or topology architecture view of what this entertainment communication highway looks like. And then underneath that, what are some of the applications, rights management systems, and how a storage area network fits into this puzzle. I'm then going to conclude with three customer testimonials of particular media or SSPs or environments and looking how they're applying this particular technology. And then we'll sort of bottom line is why SANs and why you might want to be looking at them today. So the first thing to begin is, who is LSI Logic Corporation? LSI Logic is a $2.5 billion company that builds chips, semiconductors, and fiber channel storage. What we're across the sort of, we call the highway, is we're constituting as our global communications pathways. Our chip division is probably our most lucrative division, which we do about $2 billion worth of revenue, and we work with some leading companies from Lucent, Cisco. Some of the areas that our chip guys are working in is telephone, voice over IP, digital cameras, data servers, the video games like the PlayStation 2, the PDA devices, traditional workstations, to LANs, WANs, routers, hubs, and switches. And to get really very specific, they actually have a broadband communications group, a network communications group, and then we would constitute our storage division. And what we're trying to, as a company, as a global communication, is create components to solutions or silicon to systems. Our technology is pervasive in DVD, PCs, set-top decoders, the actual algorithms that are for encoding. And as you can see, our big box here is what we're constituting our storage systems division, which I'll be talking about today. Just to give you sort of a background, the paper or the presentation is really looks at storage area networks, but I don't want to sort of go on a pathway. I mean, there are other, we also have what we call is network attached storage or server attached storage. So there are two different types of technology. There's a NAS and there's a SAN. And specifically, we're going to talk about the SAN and the block, module, data types and how this particular technology is being used for satellite broadcast and broadband networks. So, to start off, I think the key thing is we know that we all see lots of technologies out there. I think that the underlying issue is, what are some of the business challenges that are facing the enterprise and how is this technology going to be deployed? So the first thing is essentially managing the growth, the complexity of the enterprise, the complexity of the enterprise. And the key point here is the ability to rapidly change to business conditions within the broadcast and network environments. And as I would sort of say, the hot button has been streaming media. You know, it's coming everywhere. How are you guys going to embrace this technology? How are you going to make money off of streaming media? And what sort of technology are you going to need to embrace to make that happen? Business intelligence. Information access, data availability at all times with no barriers to access. One of the companies we reference when I used to work for is the Viacom Empire. You know, lots of different divisions, all working, you know, with their own little fiefdoms, but, you know, at the end of the day, there's some sort of centralized IT manager that needs to provide, you know, service level agreements back to the business units, and how important is the business intelligence. Containing costs, the rules haven't changed. You know, the CFO wants to know, what's the total cost of ownership, and why we should be buying this technology, and what's the investment protection? Recently, as we've kind of noticed in the marketplace, there's sort of been a downturn. Even with LSI Logic, you know, we're looking and our budgets are getting tighter, and they're asking even greater demands to increase productivity. Technology obviously can play an integral part in those type of economic clients. So speed of access to keep pace with ever accelerating and new technical demands on the enterprise, we think will sort of further accelerate this push. And then the last piece, which I would classify as mission critical computing, is the service level agreements, or particularly the QoS, the quality of service agreements. It's gotta be 24/7, it's gotta be 365 days a year. These rules haven't changed. So underneath this, where does storage play? In other words, what are the demands within the broadcast and network operations? So in the sort of the central puzzle, it's gotta be enterprise storage. It's got to be high speed. It's got to be scalable. And essentially, as your business grows, the technology needs to grow with you. Availability, coming back again, you need to have access to this information 24/7, and what's the impact if you don't have that information? And it needs to be centralized. And so this slide is sort of giving you the topical overview of what an open storage management strategy should look like, and what are some of the demands and some of the criteria points that you should be evaluating and be asking your vendors. Because as you know, LSI Logic Storage System isn't the only storage vendor in the world. There are lots of storage vendors in the world. And we're going to talk about some of our competitors and also some of our companies that we work with. Because one of the things I didn't mention is LSI Logic is probably the number one OEM storage provider in the world. We ship about $2 billion worth of storage. And I'm going to talk about some of our partners and some of our relationships, and also our future strategy of building our channel and the reason why we need to diversify our portfolio. So this I would constitute as my favorite slide. It's sort of the explosion that's going on, the digital media chain reaction. And inside the central hub is what I call the content origination slide. And I reference two clients of ours, one of them being Rhythm & Hues, a large special effects house based in Marina Del Rey, and the latter one being Kaliski Kuspo, the animation house. And the key thing is we'll talk about the different distribution methods being satellite, broadcast, broadband, but really what the outer ring and probably the most important ring is the different types of media that's out there today and how pervasive this media is and how it's affecting the enterprise. So from the top part, we look at static content, dynamic content, you have multimedia. It's now being compressed down to MPEG-1, MPEG-2, MPEG-4. Where is high definition HDTV going to fit into the puzzle? Where's interactive television? Where's the streaming media component? What about radio and audio? What about entertainment? So this is sort of like from a 10,000 foot view, overview of the different types of media that's gonna be affecting your enterprise, and how are you gonna be able to handle this? So underneath here, we move to an enterprise storage broadcast and network service architecture. And if we start from the left, we can look at the raw content. So if we're looking at that original slide, you saw the different types of media that sort of come in. Here I'm being in the traditional sense of 35 millimeter studio. It's coming in. There's going to be some sort of production service group. There's going to be a content management. And we'll actually go deeper into the technology, looking at some of the asset management companies, some of the video loggers, the digital rights management systems, the encoding, the editing. And then underneath that, the storage array that's going to sit underneath here to manage the production facility. There's the packaging side, the scheduling, the automation software, the program guide. The rules haven't changed. I'm sure you guys have seen this slide, but again, just to reference where the storage fits in, and the last part being the distribution from transport mixing to conditional access, local insertion, the playout server, going over the satellite. Again, hitting your consumption, either your TV, your computer, but this is essentially how we're sort of looking at the world in relates to storage. And I also want to reference, because the Yankee Group here today, because they are an industry market research firm, and this slide actually was given, or actually I was allowed to use this slide, so I want to thank them. They're actually a research firm based in Boston. And I think what I like about this slide is that you have so many different technologies, you have so many different areas of need, and this is sort of, for me, sort of a way to sort of give you a topology back of how I kind of see how this architecture is going to play in. So now we get into, I guess, the nuts and bolts is, what is a storage area network, a SAN? A SAN is an enabling infrastructure for information media as an entertainment platform. Whoa, we got speed here. All data, being video, audio, or information media, is being transferred between computing elements and storage devices over high-speed SAN infrastructure. Storage devices communicate with each other to accomplish information sharing related tasks. So as you can see in this particular diagram, this is a very basic SAN. You have three clients, three servers off a switch going back to what we call our E4400, which is our storage systems. So some of the technologies in an enterprise storage architecture within a SAN are, they're going to be four components. You're going to have your fiber channel infrastructure, you're going to have your storage hardware devices, you're going to have your storage management, and then you're going to have your customer service or storage sales support. And those, we're going to get into a bit more detail now and looking at those different characteristics of those technologies in making up the fabric of what is a SAN. Within these storage solutions, you're still going to have your backup and recovery, your high availability, your data warehousing, your enterprise resource planning, and in some cases, and I'm going to give an example, is why you might actually want to consolidate your storage, and how that might increase your business or your revenue, or actually you can actually show cost by doing that. And so this slide is what we're classifying as fiber channel infrastructure. Okay, so moving forward now, LSI Logic as a storage company is not a proprietary, we own everything, we go out and we're gonna, you know, give you the entire technology. That's not the type of company that we are. How we classify ourselves is the Open SAN platform, and we have certified, tested with a number of leading vendors in the world. And in some cases, all of these companies actually OEM and actually sell our storage under their brands. These companies, as we're looking in this diagram, are Sun Microsystems, IBM, SGI, HP, NCR, Fujitsu, Amdahl, Storage Tech. And so we have made our footprints in the storage business through an OEM relationship. Furthermore, we have also built our own brand, which is our MetaStore, which we actually go and actually have our own sales force, and that's where our company is moving today. The reason why, it's kind of like, you know, diversifying your assets. If we do X number of millions of dollars with one particular vendor, say that vendor decides to pull the plug and they no longer want to do business with us, we have to make up that revenue. So it's a matter of balancing out our own portfolio to ensure, as because we are a public company, to ensure that our own safety. So the video server platforms that I've sort of mentioned, the critical thing here is the HBAs, the host bus adapters, must be available for all major and mini platforms. Now, some of the companies that I don't see in this slide are companies like Grass Valley, Leech, Avid Technologies, that are providing, you know, I would say in the mini major atmosphere, that are providing, you know, video servers. Where we have a unique position as a company, because we have the silicon, we build our own HBAs. So I think this is really important, as you know, you might have like a different, different types of operating systems, whether it's NT, SGI, IRIX, Sun, Solaris, or Apple Mac, or maybe you're using, I think it's Grass Valley's XP platform. The key thing is, as a company, the insurance of being able to make sure that everything's been tested, marketed, and certified. And so we work with companies like, or organizations like SNIA, the Storage Network Industry Association, to certify and test to make sure that before we actually go live into your enterprise, this stuff actually works, it's been tested, and actually is going to meet the requirements that we're actually laying out. And I think that's a critical point, that we can provide solutions today to meet your typical areas. It's also important, actually, not just for us, but for you as companies and as, you know, you're going to have different demands within your enterprise, and you need to be figuring out what type of strategy do you want to go with. Do you want to go with a company that has all different types of, that owns all the types of technology, or do you want to diversify your own portfolio, you know, where you can get best of breed of technology and best of breed pricing because you're working with a number of different technology companies. The next piece is the hardware devices. The fiber channel HBAs, and as you can see on this particular side, the storage systems logo is not present. It's LSI Logic Corporate. As I referenced before, we build our own HBAs. Our plant is based in Colorado Springs, but the key thing here is that we are certified and tested and are compatible with other HBA providers, and they are QLogic, Emulex, JNI, Agilent. I'm not here to talk about the switch technology. There are a lot of different choices in cost, performance, extensibility, availability, management. But I think the key thing here is, depending on what your requirements are and what you're looking to achieve, it could be 16-port, it could be 32-port, but there are a lot of different companies that are out there. But what, from LSI's perspective, is that we're not the switch vendor. We're the storage vendor. But it's our position to make sure that we have certified and tested and have open standards with leading technology companies. And these are some of the companies that we have certified with, beginning with Brocade, Anchor, Gadzook, McData, Vixel. And I'm sure if I asked you guys, you know, of these technologies out here, I'm sure each one of you have your own different environments, but the key thing coming back is how important it is to make sure that the storage company that you're working with has or actually tested and is certified with these other technology companies. Fiber channel communication infrastructure. I was very fortunate that I got here this morning to hear the Lucent Technology presentation, because I think that, you know, Sid really got the whole idea of optical media characteristics and the whole optical media information highway. I was very fortunate. About 7 years ago, I was living in Australia working for a company called The Meta Group, which is a market-leading research firm. And they didn't have, the type of network infrastructure as we have today in America. And so they were actually laying in their fiber optical lines, which we're seeing today. But one of the critical things here is there are, you know, different data transfer rates. Today we have our 1 gigabyte prototype, which is transfer rate. From LSI, our 2 gigabit prototype is coming out in Q2, which we say in July. And when we say it's coming out in Q2, that means that our beta is already operational, like in January. But when we say Q2 and goes live, it means it's been certified, it's been tested with all of our OEM partners, where we can actually go and deliver a solution today. And I actually want to quantify that, because a lot of people have been talking about 2 gigabit prototype, but you need to ask the questions of what that actually means, the hype versus reality. And from us and our perspective, we like to ensure that when we actually make an announcement that it's real, that it actually is being deployed, it's been tested, it's been certified. Because coming back again is that you don't want to have something shipped and have to deal with the bugs and the viruses and all the other stuff that your operations center. We want to make sure that there's a smooth transition if you're going to put in a SAN. The other point here is the 100 kilometers point-to-point distance possible over IP. I'm sure many of you have looked at leading technology companies like Nishan Systems. Underneath this, the optical media characteristics, what I reference first is DWGM, and I was asking Lucent Technologies, why didn't you reference DWGM? I'm an emerging technology, and they sort of hid those slides, and I think they're planning to do some press releases to talk about dense wave diversity multiplexing, essentially doing dark fiber in metropolitan area networks, and how that's going to, you know, move the data at a faster rate within inner cities like New York, San Francisco, Boston, LA. You have multi-mode, 500 millimeters, or single mode, up to 10 kilometers. But again, these are just different optical media characteristics that play within the SAN communication, which is going to be moving this particular data at high optimum rates. So moving forward, and this slide I put in because this is a TM we call Hot Scale, which essentially keeps your data available. Hot Scale technology is a trademark by LSI Logic, and what it really enables is technology maintaining your fiber loop integrity when components are added or removed. So the whole idea is that, say, for example, today you have a particular business unit and it has 2 terabytes of storage and you're not sure, you know, where the growth is going to be. You're not fixed into a price point of having to buy, you know, a large data system that can handle 22 terabytes and you might only use 2 terabytes. The whole idea is that you do a migration strategy or you can redeploy your capacity as your requirements change. The key thing here is that your servers can be connected or redeployed, your SANs can be reconfigured, and there's no downtime in doing this. So the reality is that today you've got, you know, a bunch of different media that you're handling. Say you need to add, you can actually add on the fly additional storage without interrupting the flow of your organization. Your drive models have no interruption to data access, and we think this is an important feature set that you need to look at because from a price perspective, from a performance perspective, and also from an operations perspective, the key thing is, you know, you don't want to be forced to have to spend $1 million or $2 million. I mean, disk prices, someone was asking like where they're at today. I think they're about 10 cents a meg, and that's a good number that you should reference. That we kind of like have our matrix at. But the key thing here is you don't want to be having to spend more money than you need to. You want to have what I would consider an adaptive architecture where you can move your business as your business grows. And if your business is actually downsizing, that you can actually downsize with it with actually no downtime. So I think this is an important feature set that you need to look at and need to evaluate when you're looking at SANs. The entertainment communication highway, the broadcast distribution model. I reference here on the right Digital Domain. Digital Domain is a large special effects house that we'll talk a bit more later as a customer testimonial. But you know, the key thing here is, you know, going back, I put like the main broadcast station with, you know, receiving, studio, news server, production, post-production, archiving, the on-air server, the master control, or it could be Universal Studios. The key thing is there's a central hub where information is being gathered, it's being edited, it's being managed, and then in some cases, it's actually going out to a third party, which is Digital Domain, which might be doing some special effects work for that actual movie. I would even put in another, I could have actually added on to this, you could have the trailer companies that are working with the studios and how this information is going over communication highways. And then in some cases, you could even put the distribution or the advertising agencies where the information is moving. And the key thing here is this stuff's got to move at high speed over ATM or IP hybrid solutions. It's got to be managed. And, you know, and what is going to be the enabling technology that's going to do this? So looking underneath the outer view of this entertainment communication highway is the actual, what I would consider sort of an architecture view. And we'll start from the top, being the automation, the scheduling, the, you know, the traffic remonitoring. There's Omnibus, there's Louth, there's Odetix. In between here, we didn't really talk too much, or I didn't hear any presentations, but there are companies that have a video logger. I'm referencing Virage today, but they are not the only company that has a video logger. Convera has it, Pinnacle has it, NAB is, you know, going on. There's lots of other technologies, but the key thing that I like is that what Virage and their architecture is, it's open. What they've done is they've written their APIs, they've written their application program interfaces to the asset management software. So in here, you have Bulldog, you have Artesia, you have eMotion, you have WebWare, you have IBM Digital Libraries. They've written the APIs, the database plugin for Oracle, Informix, or in some cases, they're actually customized applications. They also have what we call the Virage Video Application Server underneath the web server. You know, again, being able to have an architecture that's written and that actually works for your enterprise. Moving down on the chart, as you can see in the ingestion side, you know, there are different algorithms for encoding. There's Reel, there's MPEG 1, MPEG 2, MPEG 4, even heard there's MPEG 7, there's Windows Media, but this stuff is going to be encoded. It's going to be streamed out. It's going to exist under a video. It's going to sit under a video streaming server. And I reference companies like here, like MediaBase, Reel Servers, Windows Media. But underneath here, this is where the storage is going to sit. This is where the SAN's going to sit. And one of the feature sets of a storage area network is the capacity or the bandwidth requirements, being able to move the data at fiber optic rates. So, in, for example, an LSI Logic storage system, we have, we say, four hosts on the front, four on the back, and you can sustain 100 megabytes per second, a total of 400 megabytes per second. And that's pretty fast. And in some cases, which we're going to reference now, looking at customer testimonials, is there was a company, for example, named Digital Island, and they wanted to build an audio and video content within a SAN. And they looked at a number of different companies, but their business challenge was very specific. They needed to architect a technology center to enable video on demand, webcasting, and encoding as one seamless operation. Simultaneously, they needed to control the quality, the visibility over their customers' assets, because they're an SSP, while integrating leading-edge technology that was scalable, reliable, accessible. And I think the most important thing here was they did not want to compromise their bandwidth requirements. So today, I think they had about 80 megabytes per second. And what we actually were able to do, which I think is really unique, is that when they added additional LUN, their bandwidth requirements went up, and now they're getting about 150 megabytes per second, which is like unbelievable. What they did was this. They used two compact servers and 26 NT clients. They used Q-Logage HBAs on the clients and then Q-Logage HP per server. They had two metadata controllers. One was Synergy, which is the software, and one was Agility. Underneath that, they used Q-Logage switch attaching to an E44 disk array of about 1.5 terabytes. Here's the key thing. They had a challenge. They had to go out and buy some technology. But what was the impact of the storage on their business? Well, by increasing their speed, they got better quality of service, they got faster accessibility to their customer access, which increased their customer productivity. So there was a direct line of technology back to the business. Better performance time, which increased bandwidth, enabled better uptime, which allowing them to increase their market share. So in this particular case, you know, the guy who was working at Digital Island, he was really excited because he was able to justify his costs, and his business people were actually able to see the technology working for them. Oops, sorry about that. The next one is what I constitute storage consolidation, and this was with MTV Networks. Storage consolidation, their challenge here at MTV was they had a number of animated television shows. And the whole idea is that their business was going to continue, but they need to increase their performance and show a fair total cost of ownership. In between that, they also wanted to manage their own network. They were getting pressures from, you know, their CFO that they should just outsource this particular piece to like an SSP, and they didn't want to do that. They wanted to control it and own it. And what they did was, they figured out was by taking 18 editing workstations, which were Avid, and consolidating to one storage system, they were able to show costs across their enterprise and they were able to increase their productivity with less resources. And I'm gonna go to this slide because I think it's really important to reference. I mean, one of the things people will say is, well, we got all this great technology and yeah, I wanna go out and build a storage area network, but you're gonna have to justify it back to your CFO. I mean, everything that we do, you know, with LSI Logic, I might wanna do like a roadshow and get like the Gartner Group or the Yank Group and tell our story. But the bottom line is that, you know, our management wants to know, well, what's the cost of doing that and how is it going to impact the business and what's the ROI? So the key thing here is what we're able to show, and I reference IDC, is in this particular case, it was in a decentralized environment. There was like about 100 gigabytes per manager, and the management cost was about 55% eating up of the storage budget. They co-located, I mean, they were server dependent, and it was about 200 gigabytes per manager, eating up about 35% of the storage budget. When they actually consolidated their storage, there was about 750 gigabytes per manager, and they actually lowered their storage budget by 15%, and I think it was about 40% reduction. So here was a classical example where we can actually take total cost of ownership and actually show if you're going to move from a tape-based architecture to a disk-based architecture. And there are a lot of reasons why you might want to go from tape to disk. You don't need to digitize the information. Everything is online. The price of disks have come down. And if you can actually consolidate your organization, you can actually show an ROI, which will enable you to get better technology, better software applications. And in the same way, you might be able to increase your uptime, your performance with using the disk in a SAN infrastructure. So the last one that I'm going to give, because I don't know how I'm doing on time, and I do want to leave room for questions, is digital domain. And in this case, digital domain is one of the largest special effects house based in Santa Monica. And they're, you know, choir servant, their availability and their performance intensive. I think they were having about 15,000 IOs intensive. It's slow, rich media filing rendering, you know, large special effects files that they're providing back to each of the studios. It was client to client server system 24/7. In this particular case, it was server attached storage. They had SGI platforms, some platforms, and they were about four terabytes. And the whole idea is that we need 4400, we met their needs today, but we could also grow with them with our hot scale technology. Well, the impact was we were able to improve their productivity and accessibility for 400 special effects artists. And there was no downtime. It was 24/7, 365 days a year. This is actually a critical piece. I referenced the 400 special effects artists because, as we all know, HR, people are your most valued assets. And in the entertainment industry, special effects artists can be paid over $100,000, $200,000, you know, per person. So what was the net effect if a special effects artist went down, you know, for their actual runtime when they were in production? I mean, it was the lifeblood of the company. And so this particular client, obviously, to improve their productivity and their performance, but the reliability factor was an enormous factor in their decision-making process. Fortunately, they were able to increase their performance up to about 65%. Again, what I'm highlighting, it's not just the LSI Logic storage slide, but it's really about how disk-based architectures can enable high throughput, high capacity performance, which can increase your productivity within your network and broadcast architectures or your organizations, and why you might want to look at a SAN as an enabling technology. So to sort of bottom line this, as I reference back to this digital explosion, high definition, there's a greater need now for SAN-based technology than ever before. The critical thing here, and I'll stick to, you know, what I believe is you need to have an adaptive architecture. You've got technology today, and you've got to figure out your migration path. And the question that you need to ask yourself is, do you want to work with an open standards platform, or do you want to work with a proprietary SAN? And there are different benefits for each different solution provider. And I'm not saying that in your particular environment that a proprietary SAN might be the right choice for you, but there are significant advantages by going through an open standards platform. And some of those advantages are you have no vendor lock-ins, which basically assures that you're gonna get best of breed technology and best of breed pricing. And as an example of LSI Logic storage systems, we had to do this to ensure our own safety as a company. You know, we started out, we never had a direct channel model. We didn't really want to go out and have to build our brand. It became a necessity or a survival mechanism because the fact that our technology was being used by all those different platforms. Like I said before, if one of those vendors decided that they didn't want to work with LSI Logic Storage, we have to make up that revenue. So it was it became a manageability of your resources and your assets. And I would actually flip it back to you in the same case. By having an open standards, you're actually assuring yourself of lock-ins and price, which I think are important things. So last but not least, what's the impact of the SAN on the business? Why am I up here? Why storage area networks? Key thing, your business efficiency, uptime availability, increased revenue in certain cases, reducing costs as in the storage consolidation model, and investment protection.